This is God's living and active word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as I know the Father, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. Join me in prayer one more time. Father, I pray you would fill me with your spirit and lead me as I proclaim Christ. Lord, would all of our hearts be soft and ready to hear from your word. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. What are sheep good for? Sheep truly are helpless animals. They're not fast, they're not smart, and they're not brave. You could rightly describe them as harassed and helpless on their own. They are constantly in threat of danger. Danger from wolves, danger from lions, danger from thieves and robbers. But sheep have one thing going for them. They know they are sheep. We, too, are described as sheep. That's one of the main descriptors the Bible has of us, that we are sheep. But unlike actual sheep, we forget the fact that we're sheep daily. As the world seems out of control, we are desperate for security. And we try to take hold of circumstances in our lives to seek security. But the good news of this passage and of the gospel is that our God reigns in this world, and he reigns in our lives through our shepherd, Jesus. So we don't need to seek our own control. We can surrender to his control. So today's sermon is called The Good Shepherd. It is part one, and Lord willing, in 3 weeks from today, when I'm back in preaching, we'll do part two. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. So we will return to these verses and the ones following them. But I have three main points today. First, we're going to see how Jesus has authority over salvation. That's the first point. We'll see Jesus has authority over salvation. Second, we're going to see that Jesus has authority over our daily lives. He has authority over our daily lives as believers. And lastly, we see that Jesus has authority over our corporate life. We are his flock. And what we're going to see in our application for each of these points is that Jesus calls us to leave our comfort zones as he calls us out by name. So, let's get started and look at these 3 points in turn. So first, Jesus has authority over salvation. We see Jesus begin to contrast the religious leaders from John 9 to himself at the beginning of chapter 10. Look at it. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." See, the religious leaders in John chapter 9 at this time were not actually chosen by God. They did not actually trust in the Messiah whom they were supposed to be waiting for, and they were leading the people astray, shutting them out instead of bringing them in to the Lord. We see later that the thief in verse 10 comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So that ultimately is talking about Satan. His goal is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And all who don't know the Lord fall into that as well. And false leaders have those same motives, the motives of their father we saw a couple weeks ago. In Ezekiel chapter 34 in the Old Testament, God had prophesied about the religious leaders during that time, around the time of the fall of Jerusalem. And he said, "These leaders, they do not know me. They are not speaking my words. I'm going to remove them, and I myself will shepherd my flock," is what God said in Ezekiel 34. He said that he would shepherd his people. And we see Jesus here is the fulfillment of that. God himself coming to shepherd his people. We see that while the religious leaders don't care for the flock, we see that the good shepherd, Jesus, intimately knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. There's this amazing picture. Look down at verse 15. In verse 14 and 15, he says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." So can you imagine the intimate knowledge of God the Father and God the Son? And Jesus says, "I'm embracing my sheep in that way. I'm bringing my sheep into this knowledge, this intimate relationship between Father and Son. He brings his sheep into that." So Jesus knows us. He knows his sheep. And it says he calls us by name. So he contrasts the thief and the robber to himself as the good shepherd. But Jesus also says in verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So Jesus is showing his authority over salvation. During this time, shepherds in the Middle East would have enclosures, stone enclosures, where they would keep the sheep safe at night, because there's a lot of dangers at night for sheep. And there would only be one door into the enclosure. It's the only way you could keep the sheep safe. And the shepherd himself would stand at the enclosure or even sleep at the enclosure. So he's saying, Jesus says, "I am the door." It's the only way in to the safety of the pasture where there's no harm coming to the sheep. As the shepherd of the sheep is the Messiah, Jesus is the only appointed way for people to know God, to have the safety of coming into God's presence. Jesus later in this book says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by him. I did just get a haircut recently. I've had people tell me that when my hair's curly and I have my beard, I look like a musician from the 70s and 80s, Keith Green. I know maybe everyone might not know who that is, but he wrote some really great songs. "There is a Redeemer" is one of his songs, but I like some of his music. And I actually watched recently his testimony he shared. I think he got saved during the Jesus movement in the 1970s. And in his testimony, he said he was searching everywhere to know God. He was very pluralistic. He believed in so many different teachers and gurus, and he tried everything. But one thing really struck his mind as he, would study Buddhism, as he would study Islam, as he would study all these other things, every other way, every other religion would honor Jesus in some way. You know, the Muslims would say Jesus is the prophet. He's a great prophet, the second greatest prophet. Buddhists would say Jesus is another Buddha. He achieved enlightenment. All these other religious teachings would say Jesus is one of the ways. But then Jesus said, I'm the only way. And so this to Keith Green was a logic that God used to say, well, then he must be that must be right. If Jesus said, I'm the only way, and everyone else says he's one of the ways, God used that in his life to bring him to Christ, and he came to Christ through that when Keith Green realized that Jesus was the only way of salvation. So Jesus has authority over salvation. He is the door. He's the only entry into God's presence. He's the only way to have our sins forgiven. And we see this throughout the rest of our passage, how he does that. It's because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus repeats this several times. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we see this as the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's truly an incredible thing to think about, a shepherd laying down life for an animal. You know? Do you know anyone who's laid down their life for an animal? It might be an amazing thing for someone to lay down their life for a friend. That would be worth story after story, a retelling of the great love of a friend laying down life for a friend or family member. But Jesus, God over all, eternal Son of God, laid down his life for us, weak, sinful, rebellious people, like sheep compared to him. I'm reading a devotional, rereading a devotional called While Shepherds Watch Their Flock, and it's about a Christian man who, a pastor, who went to the Middle East to study about shepherding, modern-day shepherding, and what he could learn about many of the biblical references to shepherding. And he told a story there of a time that they would have these animal, they would have to sacrifice a lamb as a part of their ritual in the Middle East. And he wanted to be the one to do it one time. And so he took a knife, and it was a part of the ceremony, and he was going to cut the lamb's throat. And what he noticed was just how docile and innocent the lamb was. You know, didn't struggle, you know, probably didn't understand what was happening. But he tried to cut the throat, and it wouldn't work. The knife was dull. Imagine the tension. I would hate to do that personally. Imagine the tension. So they sharpened it a little bit. He tried it again. It's too dull. The whole time the lamb is just lying there. So finally they get another knife. He cuts the throat and it works and the blood spills to the ground and the lamb just silently lets his life pour out to the ground. And this is the picture, brothers and sisters, of what our shepherd did for us. Our shepherd became a sacrificial lamb for us. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before a shearer is silent. So Jesus did not open up his mouth. He did not protest. He willingly gave his life for you and for me. He submitted himself to the wrath of God in our place. He submitted himself to death so that he offers forgiveness. He offers life to anyone who comes to him. And so I just want to invite you today to either come to him for the first time, if you don't know Christ, or if you do know Christ and you've wandered, like we're all prone to wander like sheep, come back to him this morning and know his heart that he willingly gave himself for you. You can come and have his forgiveness. You can come and have him as your shepherd. I just have to ask, are you trusting in anything else today? Aren't we tempted, even as Christians, to trust in our good works? That we think we can do enough good things to earn God's favor? Do we trust in the fact that we got baptized at a certain time, or that we go to church regularly, or that we're members of church, or that we serve God day and night? Those aren't the doors to get to God. There's only one door, and it's through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. Jesus is the only propitiation. That means he's the only one that could absorb the wrath of God as the Son of God without sin. There's no other way for our sin to be taken away. What can you do with your sin before a holy God who sees everything, who knows everything? What can I do with my sin? We can hide it from each other. We can even like push it down out of our consciousness. What can we do with our sin? Well, thankfully, brothers and sisters, we don't have to carry the burden. That's what Christ did when he took the wrath of God, when he was willingly slain for us. And he said, "It is finished. There's no other work that needs to be done. You just come to him. You just receive his forgiveness. You let his blood wash over you." So Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the only propitiation. He's the only shepherd. There's no other shepherd for our souls. So I think one way of thinking about salvation, coming to Christ for the first time, is just admitting that you're a sheep. Aren't we so proud sometimes? Even as Christians, we just want people to think that we got it together. But salvation is admitting to God that you are a dumb sheep. I'm a dumb sheep. A dumb sheep whom Christ died for, whom he loves. So salvation is admitting you're a sheep. Sanctification is remembering you're a sheep more and more, day and day. Remembering your dependence on your shepherd. So Jesus here, as he's calling out with his voice, he's calling his sheep to leave here in John 9 and 10. Leave those leaders. Leave Judaism. He's calling out his new people, the new people of God. And Jesus counts by ones. There's rejoicing in heaven when one lost sheep is found. So can you imagine, you know, thinking about sheep, can you imagine a sheep talking to the shepherd? The shepherd say, "Hey, come through the door. Come in, let's be safe." And the sheep's like, "No, I'll find another way in. I'm gonna go over this way and I'm gonna find another way in." No, we can't even imagine sheep doing that. And so I want to say to you too, don't be left outside when there's a door, when Jesus is the door. You can just come in to him. So for all of us who believe in Christ, Jesus calls us to leave the comfort of trusting anything other than him for our security. And I think one thing that he's calling us to leave for our security, is money. Money can be a temptation that we trust in it, that we hope in it, that we feel safe and secure when we have a lot of it. We feel weak and insecure when we don't have a lot of it. So think about this, brothers and sisters. Jesus gave it all. He willingly poured out his blood at the cross. So we too are called to cheerfully give all, not just our money, everything. We should give it all away. There's no comfort and security in money. We should give it away. I think this is also true with our time. We can be very tight with our time. It is a precious commodity that we have. I want to encourage you, as an application of thinking about the salvation of Jesus, give your time away. Give it to others. And so this week, our first application is to lavish generosity on someone this week. Just lavish it. Surprise someone with generosity. It could be money. It could be time. It could be anything. Generously give of yourself to someone this week. You know, spring break, you know, can be a time that you know, people can think selfishly. What do I want to do? What do I need? I've been working hard. Now I deserve a week at the beach or whatever it is. And I'm not saying a week at the beach is wrong. I've gone to the beach many times for spring break. But what's the heart behind it? Can you look for ways to serve, even if you're going to a week at the beach or whatever it might be? Lavishly give because Christ gave for you. I think Jesus is calling to us as he calls out his sheep. He says, "Prove your faith. Show that your security is in me." not in money, not in your time. Trust me with all these things. So, our first point from today is that Jesus is the only door. He has authority over salvation. And so we too can be generous people through faith in him. So our second point today is that Jesus has authority over our daily lives. Jesus has authority over our daily lives. This is what he's talking about in the first part of the chapter. He says in verse 3, "The sheep hear his voice. He calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he had brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So remember, Jesus is comparing a hired hand to an owner. He does this later when he talks about the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says the hired hand doesn't own the sheep, so he doesn't care about them. And when the trouble comes, he flees. But the good shepherd stays, and the good shepherd sacrifices for the sheep. So the only protection for us as sheep is staying close to our shepherd, is listening to his voice as he shepherds us. Jesus is not here on the earth. He's given us his word to shepherd us. He's given the Holy Spirit to live inside us. He's given us his word to shepherd us. So that is our only safety and security, is through his word. So we need to listen to his voice. And as sheep, don't you just find that you grow to love his voice more and more? In one of the Chronicles of Narnia books, Prince Caspian, there's a scene that I love. So the children, if you know the story, are back in Narnia. Lucy, by far the best character in the stories. She has the most faith in the lion, Aslan. She's asleep, and the kids are kind of fighting over which way they should go, what they should do. And then it says this, "Lucy woke out of the deepest sleep you can imagine with a feeling that the voice she liked best in the world had been calling her name." The voice she liked best in the world had been calling her name. Don't you find, brothers and sisters, that when you hear the voice of your shepherd through the word, your heart is just warmed? Isn't this what the disciples said in Luke 24? "Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked? He walked with us along the road as he opened to us the scriptures?" So brothers and sisters, following Jesus is best. Following his word is best. This is the abundant life that Jesus talks about. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the heart of Jesus, as he gives us every command, as he gives us everything to do and not do. It's a heart of love. He has an abundant life for us. Yes, an eternity and the beginning of it here. I think Psalm 23 is a great exposition of what this abundant life that he gives to us through his word should be like. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. I shall not want." There's nothing else we need if we have Christ. There's a quote I read recently that said, "He who has God and everything else has no more than he who just has God." We don't need anything else, brothers and sisters. If you know Jesus, there is literally nothing else you need. Sometimes it's the pain of loss that really teaches us that. So with Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Listen to else we have with Jesus as our shepherd. He makes us lie down in green pastures. We have provision enough for the day. He leads us beside still waters, and he restores our soul. There is nothing else that can restore your soul except for the one who made your soul. There's a table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. We're safe. We can have a feast in the presence of our enemies because of our shepherd. Truly, our cup overflows with every blessing. So Jesus has authority over our daily lives. Let's listen to the voice of our shepherd in his word. Let's submit ourselves to his word, to trust him, to obey him, to follow him. Can you imagine a sheep who's been following a shepherd for a long time? The shepherd always faithfully leads them to the pastures, leads them to the waters, fights off, you know, the predators that come. the sheep saying, I don't want to go that way, shepherd. I'm going to go off this way. No, a sheep would never say that. It's not even possible for it to come into his mind. But why are we like that, where we don't listen to his voice by neglect or by outright rebellion against something in his word? I read in the same book, there's the time that one of the sheep went off astray from the shepherd and started going toward a cliff. This was actually in Turkey. And ended up going over the cliff, and all the other sheep were following the leader. And over 1,500 sheep plunged to their death. There's safety in staying close to the shepherd as he shepherds us through his word. But we could be just like that sheep. Even Peter was like that. Remember when Jesus was trying to tell Peter and the disciples, on the third day, or I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And Peter rebukes Jesus and pulls him aside. Far be it from you, Lord. That'll never happen to you. What does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking of man's ways, not God's ways. So how foolish the sheep who don't listen to their shepherd. But we can be those foolish sheep as we ignore his word and don't trust it and don't obey it. So brothers and sisters, let's listen to the voice of our shepherd as we hear his word. And I think Jesus is calling to us to leave comfort zone of fitting in with this world. I think that is a great temptation for us as sheep in our country and our culture. Jesus has given us marching orders. He gave us his last word in the Gospel of Matthew. Go make disciples of all nations. How many days do we neglect that command? We don't go anywhere. We don't try to tell anyone about Jesus. We're not trying to teach anyone about Jesus. I think Jesus is calling to us to leave our comfort zone of just fitting in. We don't want to push any buttons. We don't want to stand out in any way amongst our peers. But Jesus is calling us to leave our comfort zone of fitting in. It is scary. Jesus himself said, we will be like lambs in the midst of wolves. That doesn't sound very good. But Jesus is with us. And I wonder if sometimes, have you ever had the thought, Lord, I'm not experiencing your abundant life. You promise life abundant, but I'm not experiencing it right now. I think this is part of the abundant life that we miss out on when we're not engaged with the mission of our commander. Part of the abundant life is that we will be living on mission. Every day we have a purpose. Share the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. This is part of our abundant life because when we take steps of faith to share the gospel, take steps of faith to invest ourselves in the lives of others, it is scary. It is hard. We are weak. We can't do it. That's when grace pours out. Grace pours out to fill us as we take those steps of faith. So this is where we can experience the abundant life. So this week, I encourage you, specifically application, go to the lost. Go to the lost with the words of our shepherd. Go to the lost with the words of Jesus and tell them about the gospel. Tell them that Jesus has saved you and he can save them. So Jesus says to us, follow me. And I believe he wants us to prove our faith by following our marching orders to go make disciples of all nations. So Jesus has authority over our personal lives, does he not? He is our Lord. So let's follow him in sharing the gospel this week. So Jesus also, finally, our last point, has authority over our corporate lives, our lives together as believers. So let's see here. Jesus says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. That's an interesting phrase, what it says in verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I've often wondered about that phrase. Well, what is the reason that the Father loves him? Doesn't the Father love Jesus from all eternity? For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I think part of what he's saying here, he's not saying this is the only reason that the Father loves Jesus. The Father truly loves Jesus from all eternity. But he is saying that it's the obedience of Jesus, even to the point of death, that is the culmination of Christ's love and obedience to the Father, and that warms the heart of the Father towards his Son. Just like parents are warmed when they see their children's obedience from the heart. So Jesus laid down his life. He willingly obeyed the Father. He did it of his own authority. No one took it from him. And what Jesus purchased was a people. He didn't purchase just your salvation. Jesus is not only your personal Savior. He is your personal Savior if you believe in him. But Jesus purchased a people, a flock. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his flock. We, the church as a whole, is the bride of Christ. And so Jesus has authority over our corporate lives. I think it is really amazing what God does in the local church, including what God has done in our church, that he unites people. I look across this room, we are just different people. We came from many different places. We're different ages. We have different backgrounds. We have different opinions about politics, about all kinds of things, but we're all here because we have one shepherd. There's no other reason for us to come together. There's no other reason for us to serve together. There's no other reason for us to invest in each other's lives except for Jesus. He has purchased us. He laid down his life so he could have a flock. And that gives glory to God when different people come together, because nothing else can do that. So Jesus has authority over our corporate lives. I think in humility, as we understand that we are sheep, we're weak, humble sheep, we can look at each other with less judgment and say, yeah, that person's weak. I see their weakness. But yeah, I'm weak too. Maybe they see mine. There are gaps between us in this church. I already mentioned them. Our ages, our background, our worldviews, our opinions. But we are called, Jesus has authority over corporate lives, we're called to cross those gaps to each other in love, to love each other, to embrace each other, to be the flock together. Truly, it is strays who are susceptible to attack. We're not made to be solo Christians, sheep without a shepherd and without a flock. We're made to be a flock with a shepherd. Jesus, our shepherd. It's hard to imagine a sheep thinking they don't need a flock, that they can go off on their own and be secure and be safe. So I think Jesus calls us out of our comfort zone of isolation. We truly are an isolated people in our culture, in our context. So we are called to live together as a flock. We're called to be in the Word together, to be in prayer together, to live our lives together. I think one really specific application of this is when, this just kind of the question, when was the last time you sought wisdom from someone else? When was the last time you really realized you had a hard decision about school, about jobs, about your finances, about your marriage, about a relationship, and you went to someone humbly and sought their advice? As I think to my own life, I don't do that all that often. I think we're called, as one of the beautiful things of the body of Christ is that we can benefit from all those differences from lives and experiences. So I encourage you this week, if you are struggling in any way, seek help from someone within the church. Let them pray for you. Let them share their experiences. Let them get into the Word with you to share wisdom. Leave the comfort zone of isolation and live in the flock together. So Grace Fellowship, we see that Jesus has authority over salvation. There's no other way. We see that Jesus has authority over our individual lives. We should follow his word. We see that Jesus has authority over our corporate lives. We are his flock together. So for our final applications, I just have three passages that I want to share with you that if you want to read them later, I encourage you to do that. These are three ways that we can follow our shepherd. They go along the lines of all the applications I gave. So perhaps one of them is speaking to you more than the others today. I'd encourage you to look at these passages. So the first, we talked about we shouldn't trust money for our security. The verses there are in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Why don't everyone just turn there if you have your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. So if you struggle, if you realize that you struggle trusting in money, these are great chapters. These are really encouraging chapters. See, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's reminding them of that they promised to give an offering to the saints who are suffering in Jerusalem, to the poor. And he's telling them about these other churches and what they have done. And he just says, I'm not going to read you the whole passage. I encourage you to read these passages on your own if this is what God is highlighting to you today. But I'll just read you the beginning. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. What a weird verse. Their extreme poverty overflows in a wealth of generosity. It's these poor Christians. And then there's this abundance of joy that's in there too. What is going on? How strange is the gospel of God that it takes poor, materially poor people, they are really generous, and they have a lot of joy as their reward. So just encourage you to look at those verses, and I encourage you, if this is your struggle, which this has been my struggle at times, to feel insecure when I think I don't have enough money, is to trust your shepherd. Just think, when have you ever not had what you needed? There's always enough in Christ. So the second verses I'll point you to is if you struggle with sharing the gospel, if you struggle just really wanting to fit in and not rock the boat and not endanger a relationship by just talking about Jesus, I struggle with that. Can a pastor struggle with that? My encouragement to you is be a fool for Christ. Be a fool for Christ. Just go all in. Just be the weird Jesus person. Don't add offense to the gospel. Don't be overly weird. But if you start talking about Jesus, it'll be weird in your peer group. It'll be different. You will lose friends. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so not far from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 21. If this is your struggle, I encourage you to go back to these verses over this next week to be a fool for Christ. Just think of what Christ has done. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, verse 17. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Enemies made friend, reconciliation, through the death of Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Yes, Paul is an apostle, but don't we have the message of reconciliation too? Don't we know how sinners can be saved eternally? Should we tell someone about it? When how many of our friends are lost? How many of our family members are lost? We have the message of reconciliation. Let's share it, brothers and sisters. Pray for me that I would not be ashamed and I would share it. We are ambassadors for Christ. Verse 20, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's good news to share. It's good news to share that sinners can be made right with God through faith in Christ, through his death and resurrection. So if that's your struggle, I encourage you to read through those verses. We can trust our shepherd. Why would we live for the praise of perishing people? They're perishing. Why would we live for their praise? Last verses to encourage you to look at, if this is you, if it's hard for you to live in community with other people, I encourage you to lean not on your own understanding. If you want to turn to Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Well-known verses are reminding us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make straight your paths. I think sometimes when we just rely on our own wisdom, when we don't live in community with others, we're leaning on our own understanding instead of availing ourselves of the community God has given us. So we can trust our shepherd. He is always faithful. So brothers and sisters, we're all about to go somewhere, or many of us. Some of us are going to go nowhere. We're going to go here for spring break. Some of us are going to go places. But I guess we'll be somewhere, whether we're going to our home or going somewhere else. So let's go to the harassed and helpless. Let's proclaim Jesus as our good shepherd. Let's tell of Jesus who has the voice of all authority, and it's a loving authority. Let's tell of Jesus who has a heart of never-ending love. So what are sheep good for? We are weak, fretful, wandering people. But sheep are good for glorifying a gracious, and beautiful, and strong shepherd. We have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, a cracked jar can shine the light of the treasure inside. So, brothers and sisters, let's shine Jesus through our weakness, as He is our shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, our shepherd. Lord, I need Him every moment. Lord, thank You for the times You remind us of how dependent we are on Him. Lord, I pray for more and more of that. It is a beautiful, joyful dependence to remember that we're His sheep, that He is our shepherd. So, Lord, I pray You would encourage Your flock today through Your word. I pray You'd bring in the wandering. I pray You would bind up the hurting. Pray You would encourage us all. And Lord, fill us with Christ, that we would go out and tell of His greatness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.